The eight leading candidates seeking the Democratic nomination for mayor faced off in their first televised debate last night. It's one of three official debates the city's campaign finance board is sponsoring. It comes at a crucial point in this race where most polls show no candidate has a decisive lead and voting by absentee ballot is already underway. Joining us now with a recap is WNYC's Bridget Bergen. Bridget, good morning.
Good morning, Michael.
Let me start off with this. For candidates, this was the chance to introduce themselves to the biggest audience yet, but the debate was still virtual.
That's right, Michael, which means we also got acquainted with candidates' kitchens and living rooms. It's one of the stranger dimensions of this campaign season. Of course, these debates are scheduled, you know, months and months ahead of when we knew where we would be with these vaccines at this point. For people who've been tuning into the many Zoom forums, it might have looked very similar, but obviously the stakes were much higher. A lot of the time was spent on issues of public safety and how the city should approach an economic recovery post-pandemic. And even though this was a Democratic primary, candidates, you really did hear a range of ideas.
Let's start with public safety, since you mentioned that. It's been a major issue in the city with a spike in gun violence and high-profile incidents, just like the one we had last weekend in Times Square. How do these candidates propose tackling the issue of public safety?
You know, Michael, I wish I could do justice to the eight candidates' different approaches on public safety, but really one of the standout moments showed how the candidates are really trying to attack each other on this issue. Maya Wiley, a civil rights attorney, asked Eric Adams, a former NYPD officer and Brooklyn Borough president, about why voters should believe him when he talks about reform of the NYPD and how he'll prevent misconduct. She started by talking about stop and frisk policing and when it reached its height with more than 600,000 stops, something a federal court deemed was an unconstitutional use of the practice.
How can New Yorkers trust you to protect us and to keep us safe from police misconduct?
You know, thank you so much, Maya. And every time you raise that question, it really just shows your failure of understanding law enforcement. So let me give you
Having chaired the New York City Civilian Complaint Review Board, I certainly understand misconduct.
Now, Adams went right back at her, called her time at the CCRB, which provides oversight of the NYPD, a failure, and defended his record fighting stop and frisk. You know, these candidates do have very different plans for public safety and policing, but what this moment really shows is how they are trying to appeal to voters by attacking each other's records and really making this about a personal, you know, who do you believe more?
How do the candidates address the city's economic recovery? Because this is huge right now.
You know, this was fascinating. Our own Brian Lehrer asked a very specific question about what was one regulation the candidates thought they could change to help small businesses recover. Eric Adams and Maya Wiley both talked about the rules around signage, which they said can be really burdensome and expensive for business owners. Catherine Garcia suggested ending surprise restaurant inspections by the health department.
They can schedule the appointment so they are staffed to be able to manage it moving forward, rather than losing a whole night's worth of receipts.
They wouldn't hide stuff and clean up for the inspector with the appointments?
They would not be hiding stuff.
I'm glad Brian asked that follow-up. I think that's what we were all like, but wait, aren't they supposed to be a surprise? Then McGuire and Donovan, they also chimed in about other regulations for restaurants in different forms. Diane Morales said that she wanted Arab business owners to be brought under the minority and women-owned business umbrella, which they're currently not. Stringer talked about overhauling the buildings department, and Yang wants to reduce fines for small businesses and help them with back rent.
In debates, you often see people attack the perceived frontrunner, Bridget. Polls tend to show it's Andrew Yang in this race, at least so far, albeit from a narrow margin. Was he under attack at all?
You know, one of the tougher moments from Yang actually came from moderator Errol Lewis, who really pressed him on his decades-long record of not voting in local elections. You know, Yang said he was like a majority of New York Democrats who participate in presidential and gubernatorial elections, but not local. And, you know, said he'd been contributing to civic life in the city and country in other ways.
I've activated millions around a cash relief movement that has helped get billions of dollars into the hands of New Yorkers. I helped swing those two state races in Georgia that have helped deliver the Senate to Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, and thank goodness for that.
You know, his campaign, I think, is really confident that voters are going to gravitate toward his optimism, so he just let some of the punches land and moved on.
Well, what role did ranked choice voting play in this debate?
The candidates were all asked about who would be their number two. It's a question they often get. Ultimately, only a few of them answered. Sean Donovan said he'd pick Maya Wiley. Ray McGuire and Andrew Yang said they'd pick Catherine Garcia. And Maya Wiley picked Diane Morales. The rest of the candidates just wouldn't say.
A lot of stuff there. All right. Thank you, WNYC's Bridget Bergen. Terrific stuff. For more on the debate and the mayor's race, go to gothamist.com.